When you look at how much it takes, when you see somebody's yard who's just like their grass is just immaculate, that took work. We've been living in our home right now for over 10 years. And when we bought that property, I was especially drawn to the yard because the grass was perfect. There wasn't a weed in it. And I remember somebody saying something to me. They said, Pastor John, they were helping us move boxes in. They said, you know, this yard's beautiful, but man, is it going to take you some work and it's going to be expensive. And it kind of blew me away because I was thinking, hey, it's set. This is perfect. I don't have to do anything. I should have known when I looked in the garage and saw that irrigation system on the wall. That's kind of like buying a boat. This thing gonna cost some money. So I've learned a lot. I've learned one thing about weeds. You don't have to care for them at all. At all. They are aggressive little creatures. And we're at the time of the year where most people have, if you do yard work and you try to keep your grass going, you probably did some reseeding in the fall, possibly. You probably paid attention to soil temperature. You've probably already gone through a series of putting down a pre-emergent. You may have already fertilizer. And it won't be long before we move to weed and feed and things like that. And hoping for rain. And then if it doesn't rain, dreading because it hasn't rained. And then dreading that you've got to irrigate it if you're going to take it that far. And you start thinking, well, I've gone this far. I might as well go all the way. And then I do all that. And then sometimes I look at some of my neighbor's yard and they cut their grass and they do all of their stuff. And sometimes I'm like, they're just smarter than me. Because is it just a lesson in futility? Now that's a choice I make for my yard. But there's a choice that I make in the kingdom that takes a lot of those same things according to the Word of God. Do you know that? Okay, so some of the terminology that is in your Bible, it talks about soil as a comparison. It compares your heart to soil. Okay, it compares the Word of God to seed. It compares preachers and teachers to sowers of seed. Does that make sense so far? So this thing, it's moving in a direction in the kingdom. So my heart, if I compare it to my yard, if my heart is my soil, the Bible says this in Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. How many of you know that life has issues? And when when an issue springs up and you get it taken care of, another issue will spring up, right? And those things, most of those things that spring up are likely to spring up from our hearts, our own soil. And we have to be diligent. You know what diligent means? Work. And what does it mean next time? Work. What does it mean the following time? Work. It means working it. Working. Look at your name and say working it. Doing it again. Not quitting. Say that. Say not quitting. That's what perseverance is. And that's called for in the Christian walk. Stop quitting. Don't quit. Don't quit. Just keep doing and doing it again. It also says to be vigilant. That means take your post. And here's the thing about the kingdom life. You don't get a day off. You don't get a day off. And that's a calling. And it's a good thing. And it's a wonderful thing to lay your head on your pillow at night and say, we did it, God. You helped me and we made it. And you don't slip in the kingdom. You don't stumble in the kingdom, because that's not God's will for our lives. And there are ways that we get that done. So I've taken a little bit with the introduction this morning because I want to touch something that Mark 4. I touched something last week that I will always go back and talk about: the spirit and the body and the war between them, the war between the spirit and the flesh, how it's fought out in our mind, because I think that's probably one of the most effective things that I preach to you. And we get new people in here all the time. And if I knew that you weren't going to stay, if I knew that you were only going to visit one time, I would preach that message to you. The message of how we win and how we fight things and where the battle takes place. And when you get those concepts, it starts making sense to you. But this is another thing right here that is very important, and it's Mark chapter 4, and I'm going to walk us through something about it, and then I'm going to make another reference about it, and then I'm going to make one more reference about it, because I want to repeat it enough times for us to get it. Mark chapter 4, let's start. Just start at the beginning. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. He did that for acoustics. He got out on the water, got in a boat, so many people that his voice would carry across the water. You've heard people's voice. You've ever been to the lake and you hear people from the other side of the lake. Jesus was smart. He realized that. Then he taught them many things by parables. Parables were stories that would explain in a roundabout way. It would make sense if you got it, but it might not make sense if you didn't get it. A parable, certain people could get it, and certain people would say, what did that mean? And even the people that got it had to come to grips with what it meant. He said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. So you got, if you're going to get this picture, you cannot get the picture of a John Deere tractor. You've got to get a picture of a man with a bag of seed over his shoulder, and he's spreading it like this by taking some and they call it broadcasting. Have you ever seen anybody do that? That's how some folks do their gardens, like that. He's sowing like that. And in that process, he'll grab a handful, but some of it's getting spilled out. And that's what he's talking about. So, it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So what we've got is some seed that's falling along the path, and the birds are just coming and getting it. And then there's some seed sown in rocky places, and because there's not much soil, it begins to grow quickly. You know, if you spread seed within about if the conditions are right, within about 5 days, you'll see something sprouted. About 5 to 7 days, you'll see it. So it came up quickly, but it didn't last long because it had no depth. That makes sense, doesn't it? Are you seeing the picture of the kingdom? Are you seeing the picture of his word going forth, and some of it is seemingly wasted, And some of it goes into rocky, hard places. And then he said some goes to thorny places. Those thorns come up and they choke the word out. And then some is on good soil and a crop is produced. Choking out is a process that will happen. I saw it happen in my lawn. I told you about how pretty my lawn was. In the first year or two, I just rode with it. I rode the wave of all the work that the person that owned the house before me did. And I paid the price because all of a sudden, here comes weeds. Here comes weeds. I'm like, what's happening to my yard? And those weeds begin to choke out my good grass. And now I've learned over time that the way to flip that back is to get rid of the weeds and then put down a pre-emergent for the weeds that does not bother the grass, but it kills the weed before it begins to grow. And then I fertilize the grass. And the whole trick of the thing is how are you not tending to the weeds and helping the weeds? Well, I'm putting things down to kill the weeds, and I'm putting things down that increases the growth rate of the grass. And the hope is to eventually have your grass strong enough that it chokes the weeds out. And it works. And it is a process that just doesn't happen on its own. It takes works, work, 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 works, works, and works, and more work. And it takes money and finances and all those things. But the reward makes it special to you. And it makes it beautiful. And it makes it something that you could be proud of. Now, I'm not trying to get into a message about proud, being proud, but there is something in my life that rises up when I know that I'm living for the Lord. And there's something also that pushes my head down, shame, when I know that I'm not doing the things that I should be doing. Paul talked about that. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do. There's a price to pay when we don't do the things that we're supposed to do. Amen, Pastor John, there's a price to pay for that. So then he explains it. So in verse 10, he said, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. Do you see that there's an us and a them there? It's just as plain as day. He's not saying that they're not saved, but he's saying there's something that I'll give you that's more, and I can only speak a certain way to someone that all they want to do is just get the candy out of the deal. He says this about them. He said, I'll speak to them in parables so that seeing they may see and not perceive. This is so sad to me. And hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. So they're there when the seed went forth. They saw things, but they didn't perceive it. They heard things, but it didn't sink in. It didn't begin growth inside of them. How sad, I call it this, how sad it would be to be an unbelieving believer. Think about that. An unbelieving believer. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? This is so foundational. He said, I speak in parables, but if you don't get this, how will you get anything else I'm talking about? How powerful is that? That we get it on this level right there. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts, in their soil. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground who immediately, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves. And so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution rises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. That is so powerful to me. For the word's sake. What that means is they heard the word, they rejoiced over the word, but because the word makes a demand in your life and it does not change, when things come in your life and it requires obedience to the word, that's where they fall off at. Come down here just a little bit closer to you. Y'all get quiet. I got to get closer to you when you get quiet like that. We can't just hear this thing. We can't. It is doing us no good. If all we do is just the stuff that goes along with church, it's not enough. It's just simply not enough. Or we'll find ourselves as being here, receiving seed, and then nothing happens in our lives. If you receive, this isn't about how good a preacher Pastor John is. This is about the Word of God going forth. And if the Word of God is going forth and nothing is happening, something happened. You just missed it. Because this said it about His Word is that His Word will not return void. What happened is a rejection or an unwillingness to obey. And I'm telling you, I hear stories from people that I pastor. And in time, I do not claim to be someone that can give you like these great counseling sessions. I don't have that ability. I got somebody that can help you that is qualified for doing that. But what I can do you is give you biblical reference. And I've had people that I've given biblical reference to, and it's so sad to me that they say, that's too hard. And I say, but it's God's word. And they say, but it's too hard. And I say, I don't have anything else for you. I have no new revelation for you. I don't have another way out. There is no plan B. It's the word of God or nothing else. Amen. That was a good amen. How sad it would be to be an unbelieving believer. How sad it would be to be one that heard the word and wouldn't do it or saw something and would not perceive what God was saying. And we should see things. When we hear the word of God preach, we should see our life happening in real time out in front of us. We should be able to say, okay, there's a key for me right there. That's the word. I'm going to put that away. I'm going to use that word. That word's going to mean something to me. Amen? These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble, because the word makes a demand. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. How can that be? Well, there's no problem with the word. There's no problem with the seed. There's problem when other things arise, and it says because of desires. Another translation says because of the lust of other things. Me wanting other things more than the word. The word is enough, but my human side desires other things. And here's the thing about God. You can't love God and love other things like this. Not even your family. I hope you guys know how much I love these guys right here. But I can't love God and them like this. I'm just telling you, I can't. He requires this first place. There's a plane with Him that nobody gets. It's a pinnacle, and He's there. That actually frees me to love them correctly and with His blessing on it, because they have been given to me with a stewardship. But that requires that I love Him first with a love like no other, with a dedication like no other. these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. It's so encouraging to see when people get it. And you see fruit in their life. And you see things coming up that are good. And you see, I just couldn't help it. I wanted one day to have a yard that had beautiful grass in it. But tell you what I love to do is take my shoes off and take my socks off and go walk on it, especially in the evening. In the morning, it's wet. But in the evening, it's cool. And it does not even matter how hot it was that day. Once the sun sets, that grass gets cool. And there's nothing that feels like walking on 4 inches of grass that is just grass. And you don't have to worry about stepping on them things. What are them little devil things called? Devil toenails is what it feels like. Y'all know what I mean. Sand spurs and all of that stuff. But I can have that, but I can't just have it on request. It's going to take some work on my side. It's going to take some investment on my side. And for me, it's worth it. I've made my decisions. I've made my choices. So in Matthew 13:24-28, just a couple verses right here. It's just talked about that parable, and it said it's the same. It's a repeat. Mark 4 is actually a repeat of Matthew 13, except for this one tacks this one on. Jesus said he hit them with another parable. He put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy, do you understand you've got an enemy that is awake when you're asleep? Think about, let that sink in. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. Now this is where we've got to get real. I've been reading some material that talks about present-day America and statistics, and I'm not a big statistics guy, but they do mean something. And this is a harsh thing, is that there's virtually no difference in the statistics nowadays for people that go to church versus people that don't go to church. I'm not saying it's exactly the same because I know some of your lives. And I want to be a statistic buster. And I want you to be a statistic buster. I want to just bust that statistic all up. But the truth is that there are things that are measured in our society. And the truth is that there's obviously, well, let me say it like this. If there is no difference in Christians, or Christendom, or people that go to church and the world, if there is no difference, that tells me then there's got to be a whole lot of mixture that's going on. Didn't you sow good seed? Well, an enemy has done this. While men were sleeping, he went out in the seed and he throwed some stuff. Now, we can blame it on an enemy to a point, but there's some stuff that we got to take responsible for. Our own weeds, our own stuff that we've got comfortable with, acting like God must not have seen it because we did it like this. I'm just, I ain't looking up. I'm just planting, I'm just dropping some little seeds out of my pocket. You know, it's all good. I look at my life versus his life, and I can relax it a little bit. No, you can't. No, you can't. You don't get a day off from the kingdom walk. You don't. Kingdom is all about territory. You are to guard your heart. This is your territory, your inner heart is your territory. It's your soil. And if something gets in, either a stray or an enemy did it, or you let it happen. Don't get mad about what's growing in your life if you planted the seed for it. And something is dangerous going on. If statistics are telling us that everything is the same, the divorce rate, the same. It's the same. The things that are going downhill in our life, it's the same. The same addictions are taking place. The same cheats are taking place. The same lies are taking place. That should not be, even though it is. It still should not be. I read a statistic that talked about a man. You've heard of Chuck Colson. You remember Chuck Colson? You remember that name? He was a very neat guy. But he had a meeting with, I think it was an NBC executive many years ago. And he was telling him, he said, you know, there are 50 million of us Christians out there, and we want some programming that goes into something that we can listen to with our family. And he said that the executive just looked at him and says, like, And as he talked on and on, then the executive just waited for his chance to say. He said, okay, we just played a show, and the statistics that came back were so small in this area. And those same households that you call Christian households, they were up here with these certain shows exactly like everybody else. And you understand that I make money off of ratings and who's watching what, so your Christians aren't backing up what you think that they're backing up. To say what he was saying with the whole thing is that statistics show that you think the Christians want a different thing to watch, but they're watching the same thing as everybody else. Oh, I'm meddling. I'm stepping on toes. It sounds like toenails popping in here. Joints popping. Stomp a little harder. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to warn you. I know you got to get some rest, but stop sleeping when you're awake. I don't know what that means when I do that, but it means something. It means I'm saying something to you. Do you get it? I'm telling you, the people of God are supposed to be distinguished. And when we start singing about the presence of God, we're not wanting the presence. I want the presence of God, but I'm telling you, I don't want it just for 2 hours on Sunday. I want it all week. And if I don't have it all week, it's going to show up in my life. And when I start calling and praying and trying to run the enemy out of my life, and he starts looking at me like, why are you kicking me out now? Because we've been cool all week long. If we're distinguished people of God, we should have some power. We should have some say-so. There should be something that people that run for things look at the Christians and say, I got to do something to get their vote, instead of like, it don't matter. It don't matter. All I got to do is throw something at them, and they'll, like we're dumb. Like we don't know who we are. Like we're just anybody. I know who I am. I belong to a king. I live in his kingdom. He's my heavenly father. I serve him. I walk with him. I talk with him. We have relation. I read what he says. He has complete access to my life. He infiltrates me with things. I sing his praises for hours other than just Sundays. And it has to look like that if I'm going to be active in his kingdom. David said, and oh my goodness, I've talked about David so many times, but David, as bad as he was, he said this. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Today's world wants all the benefits of God without blessing His name during the week. Backwards. The kingdom, I love that song. The kingdom's in reverse. I tell you what would help us if we put our life in reverse. And the things that we pull up into in our house, if we would back off of them and say, not that, this. I told y'all the other week, I was scrolling through my phone, and it hit me all of a sudden. It said, oh, you got time to scroll. Why don't you scroll through these pages right here a little bit? See, it hurts when he gets me too. So how do I get there? James 1:19-26. I'll just tell you, it talks about an implanted word. In other words, instruction. The seed from the sower gets implanted from us. It's talking about an implanted word that you didn't get any other way, but you heard the word of God explained to you, and you accepted that seed into your life. And that implanted word is able to help save your soul. Lastly, Psalm 119:11. That's when I asked y'all the other week, I said, tell me a couple of psalms that you know. Tell me just a couple of verses out of 119. I think that was the very first one. I think it was you, Tiffany, that said, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:111. That's one of what's my, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light in my path. That was the other one. And then the one that Vicky said, thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I'm going to call that the covered seed to end this up this morning. The seed has gone up. You're good soil. I believe that. But it is our responsibility. I'm telling you, I have plowed fields with John Deere tractors. I know when we get the seed out, when we get the fertilizer, it takes one more motion, and it is when you raise the plows or you change the implement on the back to where it just barely scratches over. And there's a huge amount of difference in crops that you plant, that there are certain things that you plant, and it just needs just the seed is so fine like clover that you don't even cover it up. Because you might choke it out with the soil. There's corn. Do you know that corn? You know what level you plant corn out? Would you think you put it way down in there because it makes it big old stalk? You plant corn at a rate of about 1/2 to 3/4 of an inch. Because 1 inch deep might choke it out. God has set those things up. But there, the seed of His word must be covered in our lives. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Have I raked the soil back over that I might not sin against you? What he said this about his word. His word, that if it hits the path, an enemy will come and get it. The birds will come and get it. If you're not careful, by the time you get to your car this morning, you'll be in a fight with your wife. Who cares what the word was this morning? I'm mad at you. We've got to guard this thing. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I want to ask you to actively ask Him this morning. Your word, Lord, your seed, I want you, as it lays on my good soil, I want to hide that word in my heart. That I might not sin against you. Can you just say this like, let's just do a crazy little motion together. Just like, come on. Everybody look crazy with me. Let's pull soil over our hearts. Say, Lord, pull the soil of my heart over this seed. I'm telling you, something just feels right about that. I'm collecting that word into me. I'm going to hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. This will help you today. You remember that. When the enemy comes against you this week, because I'm telling you, he's coming. He's coming. And you say, I have the seed of the word in my heart. I have pulled the soil over my heart. That word seed is going to explode in my life. That's when the watering of the word comes into play. That's when the fertilization comes into play. That's when I want what comes out of me to thicken so much that the weed doesn't have a chance. If we don't do that, then the crop never comes up, and if it springs up at all, it doesn't have a chance unless we work it. Can you say, God, help me work it? Help me work this seed in me. Help me work this seed. Help me claim the seed of your word back in my life. Help me to serve the enemy. Notice, this week I did something different. I didn't just hear a message. I swept that word over my heart. And now I'm going to guard it. Now I'm going to guard it. I'm not going to let the enemy choke and put weeds in my life. And I'm not going to pull up and let weeds be planted in my life. The presence of the Lord is important to us. The presence of the Lord is what distinguishes us from any other people. I'll just put it to you like this. Moses said this, that Moses was having a dialogue with God that was an incredible thing. And if you ever look it up in Exodus, you'll be blown away when you realize what he's saying right there. Moses and God are talking back and forth. And God is so outdone with the people that he's calling them, Moses, they're your people. And Moses is so afraid, he's saying, God, they're your people. And they get this dialogue going back. They're your people. They're your people. And Moses said this, but God, we're getting ready to move here. And if we move, will you go with us? And God said, go ahead and move, and I might not go with you, because if I do, I might kill you. And Moses says this back to God. It's one of the most powerful things I've ever heard in the Bible. He says, God, if you don't go with us, how will we be distinguished from any other people? If your presence does not go with us, how will we be distinguished from any other people? So you can't just want the presence of God. You can't just want to be distinguished as God's people unless you pay attention to what keeps his presence and understand where he won't go with you. How will we be distinguished from any other people? We can't go where everybody else goes. We can't leave the presence of God. We can't get out of here on Sunday and say, oh yeah, the presence of God, it's thick at Christ Fellowship, but what about Monday? What about Tuesday? Did you take it with you? Did you cultivate it? Did you nurture it? Did you put fertilizer? Did you help it grow? Did you say, this means something to me? Did you get it back out? Did you meditate on it? Did you chew on it some more? God, I know that there's more. I know that there's more to this message. Can I chew on it some more? Can I find some other things? Can I go down some private rabbit holes, rabbit trails with you? And you just give me more. Give me more. There's more to it, God. That's what I'm talking about. The kingdom will cost you something. It'll cost you a minute. It'll cost you some time. And it won't be comfortable time until you make it a habit in your life that his word is important. At that time of devotion, whenever it is, if it moves, if it varies, I don't care. It's that you get into a place with just you and God. You want your family to grow. You want your relationships to grow. I'm telling you, the way to do that is get in front of God. And you ask God to do this. Say, God, show me me. Ooh, you better get ready for that one. That's one of the hardest things and one of the kindest things God ever did for John Morgan, when he showed me who John was. Hard, kind. How can something be so hard and be so kind at the same time? That's when I knew I'm a man. I'm an undone man. I'm a destroyed man. But one coal from your altar on these lips will atone for me. And that relationship between me and God is intact and it's strong and it's growing. And I'm not going to let it go. And I'm going to cling to it. Amen? Can you just say, I'm going to cling to it? I'm going to cling to it. Father, in Jesus' name, your word has gone forth. It's your word. It's your seed. It's landed on our soil. I pray today, even though there's a 25% chance that the seed could fall along the wayside, I'm praying it all goes to good soil today. I'm praying even though that there is a 25% chance that it could fall along the path into stony places and not but much be much soil there, that it wouldn't. I pray that wouldn't happen today, that it all goes to good soil. I pray, God, today that even though there's a 25% chance that it could go to thorny places, that it doesn't reach those places. It all goes to good soil today, and that we reach out and cultivate it and just cover it over into our hearts. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And that word is going to make a demand on me. And that word is going to spring forth. And when the issues try to spring forth, the word is already there to choke it out. Choke out the issues of my life, God. Let your word grow so much inside of me that it chokes out the issues instead of the issues choking out the word. Can you say, good soil, good soil, good soil. Your seed in my soil. I'm going to give you permission to do something today. Put a value on your heart today. Put a value on your soil today. Not anybody else. You personally put a value on it and say, God, your seed has arrived in my soil today, and I will cover it in and hide it that I might not sin against you. Can you just begin to thank him for that today? God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Your word is everything. Your word means everything to me. Your word will guide me. Your word will bring me truth. Your word will provide a way out. Your word will give me peace. Your word will show me strength. Your word will show me depth and places in me that I didn't know were possible. And they weren't without your word. But because of your word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus, you are the word. It's one of your names, the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. It's you, Jesus. It's your word. How could I reject it? How could I neglect it? Forgive us for the times that we have. Forgive me for the times that I have, Lord. There have been times I've neglected your word. Forgive me for that, God. How foolish. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I'll leave you with this. I said 5 to 7 days. I know I've planted enough times to know. I can count on it. If it gets rain, if the seed hits the soil and it gets any rain, something's going to happen. So I can tell you this, in 5 to 7 days, we're going to be back here in 7 days. If the Lord tarries, we're going to be back here. And there will be things in your life that will spring up in the next 7 days. There's a 100% chance that his word will spring up in you. There's also a 100% chance that weeds, because you've got an enemy. Which one will choke which one? Which will choke which? Will you nurture the word and choke out the weeds? Or will you just let, you don't even have to nurture the weeds. Will you just let the weeds alone? Because they, if you do, I promise you, they'll choke the word out. It's just how it is. Leave you with that this morning. I hope that encourages you this morning, because it's true. His word is true. Amen. You say